but not far, Louisiana man. So wrong's enough that both are faded love, and that's all dance.
You want to win an exclusive Keith Urban experience? Text in the keyword Keith, K-E-I-T-H, to 615-737-1025. Receive a link to sign up for a chance to win an all-inclusive tickets to the Earthstone Club at Bridgestone Arena to see Keith Urban, plus also a chance at $1,000 cash. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel. We say hello to the best, John McClain, down in Houston. John, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, and I'm fired up. About 1 week from today, the draft will start with the Titans being forced by the NFL to use their allotted 10 minutes for a pick everybody knows they're going to make, Cam Ward. Wouldn't you like to just come out, get it going, move on? But for commercials, and I guess I don't know what they could say, the talking heads leading up to it to try to build suspense, because the suspense doesn't start until the second pick. Does Cleveland take Travis Hunter? It looks like Shedeur Sanders is falling. And I'll say this about the Giants. If they take Abdul Carter, they've already got Brian Burns and Kayvon Thibodeau at end, two former number one picks. They got Dexter Lawrence, a number one pick at tackles. But if they take Abdul Carter and he's anywhere close to being as great as he's supposed to be, they'll have the best pass rush in the NFL. And their defense, of course, will spend a lot of time on the field because their offense is horse you know what. And so I think this, that the most intriguing thing to me is Shedeur Sanders. How far does he fall and where does he line up? And his daddy should be telling him, son, I know it hurts your ego, but the farther you fall, the better chance you have of landing with a good team. Just look at Dan Marino in 1983. Look at Big Ben Roethlisberger in 2004. And I can't remember what year Aaron Rodgers came out, but how far he fell to the laps of the Packers in 05. So usually nothing bad comes from a quarterback highly rated who drops in the first round.
Well, and something interesting too, you know, I think – we're all kind of wondering how many quarterbacks will actually go in the first round because, you know, you have that fifth-year option. You don't get that in any other round. All these guys in the first round get the fifth-year option, which is very, very important. And I heard our morning show talking about this too, John, that basically the price of trying to trade into the back end of the first round is maybe a little bit higher for, you know, if a team knows that a team that's trying to move into the back end of the first round knows that they want to get that fifth-year option to draft a quarterback. So what could that do next week when we get into the, you know, the later picks in the first round of teams trying to maneuver their way back into the first round knowing they can get that extra year?
First of all, Chase, nobody uses that extra year for your quarterback. If your quarterback is good, you're going to sign him to an extension way before that fifth year rolls around. How many quarterbacks do we see where first rounders actually playing on the fifth year option?
That's good. Zero. That's a good point. That's a good point.
So I think like Baltimore trades back in to get Lamar Jackson. That was a tremendous kick. And but I don't see any Lamar Jacksons out there. I was just watching ESPN's Get Up. And Mike Tannenbaum, a former GM, this is why he's on ESPN, kept saying, well, next year, Jalen Milroe will be a frontline quarterback. Tyler Shuck will be a frontline quarterback. I think there were three that he said would be a frontline quarterback. Well, if that's the case, then they all need to go in the first round, and we need to have five quarterbacks in the first round. The fact is, we may just have two.
Talking to John McClain on the Chasing Big Joe Show. John, if it goes as planned and the Titans do draft Cam Ward, is there any doubt he starts game one? I mean, is there any doubt that he's their starting quarterback when they take the field in September?
Well, that's assuming he's healthy. And that's assuming, of course, he's going to be the first pick. And I think even if you, say, went to camp, there's different ways to handle it. Some teams, and this is rare, designate top pick to start immediately. I remember 2 years ago when C.J. Stroud was a rookie all through the offseason program and training camp. First of all, he backed up Davis Mills, the returning starter. Then he started splitting time. Then they started having him take more reps than Mills. Then he was clearly first team. And finally, they named him, even though we'd been saying since the offseason program he was going to be the starter. And you want Ward, instead of naming him as the starter, and a lot of decisions that are made because of other players. If other players are told you have to win your job, is it fair to designate him as the starter when he hadn't done squat with the team? So good coaches do it that way. They want the team to see him in action. They want the team to know this kid deserves to be the starter. So I'll say, yes, Joe, he will be the starter, but I can't believe it would be right off the bat. I'm guessing they would go to camp with Levis number one, and then at some point elevate him to number one, and he would be the clear starter by opening day. And the best thing about Cam Ward, ever since he came out as a down here as a zero-star recruit, and he went to Incarnate Word in San Antonio, and his coach, Eric Morris, who's now the head coach at University of North Texas, and he's destined for bigger things. He went to Washington State, and he went with him, and that's when he really flourished. And then, of course, to Miami last year. He had a chance to come out last year, and he was rated, and he was not rated as a first-round pick. So he went back to get better, and it worked out great. And so if you're a Titans fan, he may start off slow, as most of those rookies do, but the fact that he has improved in each season he's played since he went to college tells me he's going to improve in the NFL.
John, why in 1986, the Oilers already had Warren Moon, why did they draft Jim Everett that year at number three overall?
They tried to trade the pick to other teams, and they did not get offers that they thought were worth it. And at the time, in 84 and 85, they were terrible. And even though they had Mike Munchak, Bruce Matthews in the offensive line, and Moon at quarterback, they were terrible. A lot of that had to do with terrible coaching. So they drafted Everett, and a lot of people are, oh, my God, they're going to bench Warren Moon. No, that was not the plan by the general manager, Ladd Herzig. Everett signed late. He was represented by Marvin Dimmock. Ooh. And it was a weird deal because when he came to town at Bud's office and the media, we couldn't get in the building except the lobby, and there were different ways for them to get out. So we were there for 14 hours, and the media, TV and radio came in different times, and we had worked out where certain people would stand back on one side of the building and others would stand on other sides of the building. So we had every exit covered if they came out early. And I think it was so weird. My wife, Carol, was a paralegal during the day, and she loved sports, and she worked at a radio station at night. And they sent her over there at one point. And so she was there for 4 hours, and that's where I actually met her. And when I ordered pizzas for everybody, I made sure she got some. So that was our first date, kind of.
You old dog, you.
Bought her pizza and got to flirt with her for a few hours. And eventually, Marvin Dimmock, they asked us for pizza, and we sent it up to him. And he came down and talked to us, and so did Everett. And they had the Packers and they had the Rams. And the Packers filed a grievance because they thought he was traded to them. And then general manager Ladd Herzig got the Rams and the 49ers, rivals,
wow,
bidding against each other. And he made a trade in which he got three starters and draft picks that came starters. And they went to the playoffs, a league high, seven consecutive years. And a big part of it was that Jim Everett trade. And the strategy turned out to be brilliant, trading him to the Rams.
Wow. We'll have more with John McClain coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, on this Thursday at the Omni Nashville Hotel, continuing our conversation with John McClain, from Houston. And, John, I'm sure you've kept up with what's been going on in college football with the Nico Iamaleava situation in the University of Tennessee. How are NFL teams going to view that when he goes through the draft process here in a couple of years? Because it can't be a good look for him.
How did NFL teams view Deshaun Watson having over 35 civil suits?
Yeah.
Five teams pursued him vigorously. They don't care why he left Tennessee. They don't give a rat's you-know-what about that if they believe he can play. He's got 3 years of eligibility left. If he's good, he'll be gone to the NFL after two, and it'll be something they ask him about. And if the family sticks to this preposterous excuse that it wasn't money, it was the offense, which is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard based on everything that I've read, seen, and listened, that I've been fascinated about it. And I'm for kids getting all the money they can get, but you got to do it the right way, and this was not the right way. But it's something all teams that are interested in him will ask him about, and he'll have a good answer. And then if he can play, they won't give it a second thought.
Yeah, but do you think that Tennessee ultimately did college football and college athletics, you know, a favor by essentially standing up to – it's mainly the dad that's been causing all of this, because if they give in and bend the knee, or so to speak, and pay him more than he's worth, like, you know, we see a lot of times in the NFL, then it, I think, opens another can of worms.
Well, I look at it like this. If he goes to UCLA – and UCLA gives him what he wants, do they, are they a disservice to college football like Cleveland was on Deshaun Watson, giving him an unheard of contract, $230 million guaranteed, and look how it's backfired with them? And I'll give last year, UNLV, early in the season, the starting quarterback who was playing well, his daddy said, went public and said he's not getting the NIL money he was promised. He quit. The backup, they didn't know what they had. He played, turned out to be even better. They had an even better season. Hopefully that'll happen with the Vols, that they'll have somebody that nobody's sure about what he can do. But when he gets his opportunity, he'll play really, really well. A lot of people want to blame the NCAA for this. The NCAA is powerless. I blame the parents, and sometimes parents, I'm told now, parents are asking for money and when they're early in their high school careers. And so until they get a governing body that's got some footballs and can make decisions that'll stand up in court, we're going to continue to have this. And I hope Tennessee has an even better season after what Josh Heupel is going through.
John, I'm sure you have seen the alleged reports and everything with L'Jarius Sneed, Titans cornerback, and you know, I'm not asking about that specifically, but if the NFL suspends him, if Goodell suspends him, you know, there's guaranteed money involved. What will the Titans have in their favor if they want to just cut bait and get out of that contract altogether?
Well, they have clauses in their contracts. You know, you'd be sued. The union would get behind the player. You know, you'd hope he could come back, stay healthy, and play the way he did 2 years ago, not the way he did last year. So many players get in trouble now. It's amazing. And the league would rather get him for taking substance abuse, violating the policy for illegal substances, than they do for off-the-field issues. And you hope that he doesn't. But it also, if they think he can play and help them, they're not going to get rid of him.
Makes sense. Talking to John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, I know we're a week away from the NFL draft, but we always like talking about you and the history of things that go on. What do you think in your time covering that franchise when they were down in Houston and now here in Tennessee was their best draft? Maybe because I'm going through all the drafts. There's a lot of misses they had throughout the years. I'm just curious what you think, what year was their best draft?
Well, their draft in, 1978, when they traded up with Tampa to get the first pick and took Heisman Trophy winning running back Earl Campbell, who led them to the AFC Championship game in his first 2 years. That was their best overall pick. 1967, they got Kenny Houston Hall of Famer in first round. No, like the eighth round. Elvin Bethea the next year, Hall of Fame defensive end in the third round. And in the 83 draft, in which they went in with the second pick and they traded to the Rams so they could get running back Eric Dickerson. Then they traded that one to Seattle so they could get Penn State running back Kurt Warner, and they dropped down and got stuck with USC offensive lineman Bruce Matthews. And 1983 draft is considered the greatest in NFL history, not just because of all the Hall of Fame quarterbacks, but it was the first one red shirts that had another year of college. And we'll never have that anymore because so many guys come out early. But the NFL draft, that was the best. I don't know. I would have to go back over them because I haven't thought about it in so long. Way back in the early 60s, they won the first two AFL championships and lost in double overtime the third one, and they were loaded with talent. But back then, you were signing them off the streets, signing them illegally. They got their quarterback, George Blanda, who had been hidden by Bears owner George Halas, running a warehouse. He had keeping him under wraps, and then because he couldn't get him on the roster and he didn't want anybody else to get him, and the GM they hired came from the Bears, and he knew about Blanda, so they signed him, and Blanda is one of the greatest quarterbacks in history. So they've had a lot of great players through their history, but I would have to look top to bottom. But if you could get three or four players who could play on your team for at least 5 years, that would turn out to be a great draft. Blaine Bishop, eighth round, would have been a free agent today from Ball State in 1993. Brad Hopkins was the first pick, left tackle. And Blaine today wouldn't have been drafted. And back when the draft was 18 rounds, you look at where the mid-round picks were. Johnny Unitas, quarterback, Louisville, 18th round pick by the Steelers, who didn't know what they had, one of the greatest quarterbacks in history. So the draft is always such a fascinating thing, not just this year, but going back and looking at the drafts, just the first rounds. You could go back on Pro Football Reference and look at them, and it's amazing how many mistakes were made, including at the top of the draft, and they're always blown picks. And this franchise has had, whether it's in Houston or Nashville, has had a lot of them.
John, before we let you go, in your mind, who was the first-round pick, their first pick, who was just a total disaster? We have Isaiah Wilson here in 2020. Was there an Isaiah Wilson comparison when you were covering the Oilers when they were there?
I think that there's only one Isaiah Wilson in franchise history. That how they drafted that guy is still beyond me, considering all the problems he had. The players at Georgia, the coaches should have been able to tell them what they had. The first overall pick they had 1 year was John Matuszak. And John Matuszak was a wild man who was not good, but they traded him to Kansas City for Curly Culp, perhaps the greatest nose tackle in history, and a first-round pick. And they used that first-round pick on Robert Dr. Doom Brazil, one of the greatest linebackers. Culp and Brazil are in the Hall of Fame. Matuszak, the twos, is dead, and his best years, which weren't very good, were with the Raiders.
Well, John, we're a week away. Cannot wait, and we look forward to talking to you next week before the draft and the Titans do what everybody thinks they're going to do, and that's take Cam Ward.
Thanks, guys, very much. I do appreciate it. Can't wait.
Yep, going to be fun. Thanks, John. John McClain joining us here on the program, usually on Wednesdays, but on Thursdays today. So we keep it going. We go from the gridiron to the ice. Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. The playoffs are set. The season for the Predators has come to an end. We'll get his thoughts on that and much more. Chasing Big Joe live at the Omni Nashville Hotel on this Thursday. And the Nashville Sounds back in action tonight in Charlotte to take on the Knights. Pregame at 5:49. Note the extra minute there. First pitch at 6:04. You can listen on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure.